Praise God, and welcome to Eve's Corner. Eve's Corner is a show of enlightenment, empowerment, and encouragement. So I want to welcome you today to be encouraged, be enlightened, and be empowered with the Word of God. I am Prophetess Amina Campbell, and I am the host of the show. I would like to say, first of all, thank you so much to all of my faithful listeners, and welcome to all of the new ones. This month happens to be the one-year anniversary of the Eve's Corner airing on BBS Radio. So again, I definitely appreciate all of your prayers, all of your support for all of those who have just hung in there with me. Thank you so much to all of those who have been a past guest on the show. We have been graced by the presence of Pastor Nicholas Glenn, his wife, Sister Tamika Glenn, Pastor Terrence Kent, Dr. Gladys Dotson. We've had people on the show for health purposes and all kinds of things. Dr. Jimmy Duggins, and we have had my sister evangelist Esther Hunter on the show. We have had some wonderful men and women of God, and then each of you who have just called in to be of support, to keep me encouraged, to keep me in your prayers. You know, it takes several people to be of assistance to run a ministry. But first and foremost, above anything or anyone else, I have to thank God because it is the grace of God, you know, and I just appreciate Him giving me the strength to stand and to do the things that I needed to do. I went through some obstacles on this year, you know, like we all do. You know, I just have to thank God because He has seen me through them. He has gone before me to make crooked places straight. He has uplifted my bowed down head. You know, He has strengthened my body, my mind, and my heart on many, many occasions. And I just have to thank God for all that He has done. He has sustained me in every way, shape, or form. So I just appreciate God on today for all that He has done and all that He is going to do in Campbell Ministries altogether. Campbell Ministries consists of several things, but over the years, you know, some of you know that I've written a couple of books. You know, I've pastored. I have done quite a few things, but I just thank God for just keeping me, for just taking care of Amina. You know, whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, you know, I thank God for being the God of another chance, not a second chance, because God gives us chance after chance, because we all miss God from time to time, and we don't do everything right, and we don't say everything right. We don't always do the things that we are necessarily supposed to do, but I wanted to pause just to thank God on today again for this 1 year of successful ministry via Eve's Corner. I'm always active with my church, no matter where I am. And since, you know, many of you know that the Lord relocated me to Mississippi almost 2 years ago now, you know, I can say that I have had great support from my church, the Wordful Gospel Baptist Church. I always talk about the church at the end of the show, but I want to say, you know, thank you also for being supportive to my pastor, Dr. J.B. Williams. He is our senior pastor. And then our assistant pastor, who will soon be the pastor, Elder Fred Stewart, and his wife, Sister Ashley Stewart. These people have been supportive of my ministry, whatever I am doing, you know, not just in the church, but outside of the church. So I just want to take some time out and pause today to say thank you. Thank you to my children, who always give me consistent feedback, you know, to people like my sister and my mom, my aunts, you know, who support the show and listen and always, you know, call in to say something, even if they don't call during the show. I want you guys to know that I have great support of many people who just send me an encouraging word and say, hey, you know, you're doing a great job. Hey, keep that up. I'm praying for you. You know, many friends and family members, but, you know, there are some specific people that I just want to say thank you to on today. Now we're going to prepare for the Word of God. And there is a word from the Lord on today. What we're going to talk about today is a message that I preached on last Sunday. And for those of you who have my Facebook page, that message is on my Facebook page. There is a video. I didn't know at the time that we were streaming live, but amen, I thank God. I might have behaved a little bit, y'all, if I had known that we were streaming live. But, you know, for those who know me, you know, I am real, not just in my daily walk, but I am real about the word of God, and I am very transparent. So, you know, when God gives it to me, I have to be obedient. But the message is In Pursuit of Jesus, and it comes from Luke, the 10th chapter. We're going to begin at the 38th verse. I'm going to give you a moment to get there. Again, that's Luke, the 10th chapter. We're going to read verses 38 to 42 for those who may be trying to pull it up via technology rather than the old trusty Bible. I had an issue on yesterday with Bible Gateway. I don't know if it's back up, but if you have your old trusty standard King James Version Bible, go ahead and dust it off, you know, because sometimes that technology does not always work. You know, we have this equipment with these iPads and computers and all these things, but unfortunately the website was down on yesterday. I tried several times yesterday, and maybe it's back up by now. I did not check again, but I did pull out my old trusty. So again, go with me in your Bibles to Luke, the 10th chapter. We're going to begin at the 38th verse. But of course, as you know, before we do that, I want to bow for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you now, God, and we glorify you, God, for all things. Thank you, God, because you know all and you see all. God, you already know what we need on today. Lord, we pray that you send your word. Decrease me and increase your spirit in me, God. Shower down your anointing on today, God. Move by your spirit in this place. God, I pray now that you touch every listener on today, oh God. Give them a special touch, God. Encourage their hearts on today, oh God. Let them know that nothing can come nigh their dwelling. Let them know, God, that you are their strong tower. Let them know, God, that you have gone before them, God, and you are bringing every high place low, God. There is no mountain that they cannot speak to in the name of Jesus. I thank you now, God, for bringing every valley up high, God. I thank you now, God, that even where we may feel that we need to be able to walk across the waters, God, we know that you departed the sea for the Israelites, God, so we know that you will move on our behalf, God, in whatever way, shape, or form you see fit, God. God, we are just expecting miracles. We are expecting deliverance. God, we expect healing from you. We expect a move of your spirit on today, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, we glorify you in advance for all the things that you are doing in our lives, God. Bless those that need a financial blessing, God. Bless those that need a healing, God. Bless those that just need you to go before them, God, and speak on their behalf, God. God, bless those that need liberty on today, God. Because we know that where your spirit is, God, there is liberty. We will not be bound, God, in the name of Jesus. We will not be hindered, God, in the name of Jesus. We will not be distracted from you or your word, God, in the name of Jesus. And God, we pray your blood covering over every listener right now in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, that you continue to keep us covered in your blood, God. Continue, God, to keep that hedge of protection all around us, God. Continue, Lord, to go before us, God. Make a way out of no way, God. Open doors, God. Close those things that need to be closed unto us, God. As we are obedient to you, God, and obedient unto your word, God, we know, God, that you are moving on our behalf because there are some benefits. There are some blessings, God, to being saved. There are some benefits to being your children, God. And we thank you for it, God. We know that you already prepared a place for us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We know, God, that nothing that we are doing for your kingdom is in vain, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we just glorify you. We ask these blessings. We thank you in advance, God. We worship you, God. We lift up your holy name, oh God. We magnify you, God. We give your name the praise on today, oh Lord, for all things, God. Because no matter what's going on in our lives, God, you are working it out for our good. All things are working for our good. And we count it done by faith. We confess it by faith, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So for those of you who have your Bibles, again, we're in Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 38th verse. Now, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. And the way that we talk about it on today may be a little bit different from the messages that you normally get. You guys know God normally gives me things a little bit different, and I don't take it for granted. The things that he may show me may not be how he showed it to you, but I know that the Lord gave me this word for such a time as this, because we as saints often get distracted. We often get distracted by things and by people. So we want to talk today about Mary and Martha in Luke 10 and 38. And the Bible reads, "Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who moreover was listening to the Lord's word, seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.' But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary. Really, only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearing and reading of his most holy word. Now, here we are. We have a situation where Martha and Mary obviously live together, and Jesus is already in the area teaching and preaching. And in his going out and especially talking to the church folks, he had been questioned about some things. And, you know, he began to talk about several principles throughout the 10th chapter of the book of Luke. He talked about basically love. You know, he tells us that we need to love God first and foremost with all of our might. And he lets us know that we need to love our neighbors. And here it is, some of the church folks, as I said, you know, begin to even ask him, well, who is my neighbor? And, you know, beginning to be very technical with Jesus. So, you know, while Jesus is out teaching and preaching, here it is that Martha invites him into her home. How many of us have invited Jesus in? How many of us have welcomed Jesus into our hearts, our homes? Do we take him with us to our jobs? Do we truly invite Jesus in? And then what do we do once we invite him in? Do we get like Martha and get distracted by things and stuff and people and everything going on around us? Do we invite him in and then not pay any attention to him because we think, well, oh, he's here now and I'm focused on the service. I am focused on the things that I have been called to do, or the things that I do well, or even with some of us in the church. Are we focused sometimes on making sure that things are going well through the service on Sunday, but missing the fact that Jesus is right here in the house with me, and I'm paying attention to the stuff and the things and the people and the order of service and how I think things should be going, and I'm not paying attention to Jesus? I have failed to worship Jesus purely and sincerely because I'm paying attention to the program. I'm paying attention to how long somebody's taking. I'm paying attention to what somebody else has on and what they're wearing and what they're saying and doing. And I have totally missed the mark with paying attention and giving my attention, my worship and my praise to Jesus. How often have we done that? How often have we prayed at the beginning of the church service, inviting God in, and then we move on into our own agenda? How often have we invited God in and seemingly forgotten about him? How often have we done that? And this is basically what happens here. And then here it is that the Lord has to let her know, you focused on the wrong things. And I know that I'm paraphrasing, but you know, we have to be able to understand this word and break it down and make it real in our day-to-day lives. if it doesn't come forth with clarity and understanding, it really can't help you. So I want to be able to help you on today. And that's the reason for delivering this same message, but this time in a teaching format. You know, like I said, last Sunday it was preached, but today I want to make sure that you are understanding that when we invite Jesus in, our focus still has to be on him. And very often we as saints do get distracted with people and with things. We go about our day-to-day lives. We've invited the Lord into our lives. We give God our lives. We say that we are saved, you know, sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, we have all these quotes ready. We know all of the protocol. We know all the things that we should say and how we should say it. But what happens when we invite Jesus in? Have you gotten distracted by watching what somebody else is doing? Have you gotten distracted by watching what somebody else is saying? Even if it's somebody in your household, do you pay more attention to your husband's walk with God than whether or not you are truly living the life and walking according to the word of God? Are you paying more attention to what it is that your kids should be doing than you are in truly living the life that you profess to live? Sometimes we get distracted, and anybody can do it. It doesn't matter your title. I don't care how long you've been saved and how long you've been walking with God. Any of us can get distracted by people and things. Any of us can lose sight of what it is that we're supposed to be focusing on and who it is that we're supposed to be focusing on. Sometimes we do look at the wrong things. Sometimes our focus gets off, and that's what happens here. But do you know that God reacts to your pursuit of him? God reacted to Mary's pursuit of him. And toward the end, when Martha had the nerve to want to say something about somebody else's worship and somebody else sitting at the feet of Jesus, Jesus responded. Do you know that the things that you focus on most of the time decide your feelings? Think about it. If you're always focused on, I don't care what it is, say you're in church and you're missing the word of God because you're looking at somebody's shoes. All while the message is coming forth, you're looking at somebody's shoes. Don't you know that the battle of life is in your mind? You're so busy looking at their shoes, you don't know what book they came from. You don't know the title of the message. You don't know what else is going on. You know, some of us get distracted in church by thinking about what we're going to eat after church. Some of us get distracted in church by thinking about what we did on Saturday night. And then you start to develop feelings surrounding what it is that you're focused on. Because if you're always looking at Sister Susie when you're at church, and not paying attention to the word. Don't you know every time you see Sister Susie, you begin to have some feelings. And as the kids say, you start to feel some kind of way because you're focused on the wrong things. You are focused on the wrong things. The battle of life is in the mind. And if we just get our minds right, that's why the scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. It means you have to allow it. It means that you have to allow God to change your mind and keep your focus. Like I said, anybody can get off. But if you let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, it'll keep down those distractions. It'll keep you focused on Jesus and the kingdom of God and the things of God. But you have to allow it. It's up to you. It's up to you to take control of your mind. Don't you know that's what whatever it is that you've been thinking about and looking at, you begin to talk to other people about it and you begin to concentrate on it. Don't you know it is definitely up to you to control that? It's definitely up to you to control those feelings that you begin to have about it. But you know that you have to make up in your mind that that's not the type of person you want to be. Because it turns out to be very negative. It shows in everything you do. It shows in your face. You know, you begin to start to get old and wrinkle faster because you're so worried about what everybody else is doing. You can't even focus on God because your natural mind will tell you anything. Your natural mind will tell you while the message is going forth to pay attention to something on your phone or you sitting there texting or like I said, you know, you're trying to figure out what's going on with the game during church rather than focusing on God or what time the game starts and how fast you can get over to the tailgate or whatever it is that you're doing. You have to be in control of that. Keep your focus on God. You don't have time to be focused on somebody's shoes, clothes, what their hair was looking like when they got to church, what it is that they're doing in their life, what's going on, you know, between them and their spouse. You can't be sitting at church worried about what everybody else is doing. But let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. If the mind was not so powerful, there would not be people in hospitals right now who have completely lost control of their minds. There are people in hospitals right now because their minds took over and they begin to see things and hear things that may not even be there because they were not focused on the right things. They allow their mind to take control of them. And we know that the Word of God says that God has given us a sound mind. So because we know that he's given us a sound mind, we don't have to be fearful, we don't have to be hateful, and we can continue, as Jesus was teaching throughout the 10th chapter of the book of Luke, to just walk in love. Just walk in love. If ever you want to do a self-check on how you feel about somebody, stop and check on what it is that you're focusing on. You don't have to tell anybody else. You don't have to share with anybody else. But if you just stop and do a self-check and ask yourself, when Sister Mary comes into church, I have some kind of feelings about her. I don't know what it is. And that's what we'll say. I don't know what it is about her, but it's just something about Sister Mary. No, you focus on the wrong things. You may be jealous. You may be concentrating on her clothes, her shoes. You may be mad because Sister Mary is single and she seems to be having this fun and carefree life. And you're bogged down, you know, with kids or financial issues or a husband that you don't really like for real. You married him to pay the bills. I mean, we just gonna be honest. You know, whatever your situation is, and you're focused on Sister Mary because she appears to have something that you don't. Check yourself. Check your Holy Ghost if every time somebody walks up and you find yourself having feelings about them. Believe me, you will find that most of the time it's not them, it's you. Even if it may have been something that they said or did mistakenly, even if it was something on purpose, you have to forgive people and move on because you don't have time to be having any feelings about what it is that somebody else has going on. Because for real, that's their problem. And let's be honest. Nobody can make you feel anything. That's on you. A person can't force you to be mad. A person can't make you sad. A person can't make you feel anything. That's up to you. How you perceive it and how you receive it is up to you. We have to be smart enough to let stuff roll off of us like water off a duck's back. Because we don't have time. Our focus has to be on Jesus. We have to be about kingdom business. We have to be about the things of God. And some of us are too old to be involved in some of the foolishness that we're very often involved in. We're all in everybody else's business. God help us. And we know, you know, when we learn better, we have to do better. If you would look with me, even at Matthew 6 and 33, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then things, all the things that are concerning you will be added unto you. What am I saying? Your focus should never be on seeking the things. If we are focused on God, we can have the things. But believe me, you can't focus on the things and have God. It doesn't work that way. He's a jealous God. He will not have any other God before him. The God that we serve wants us to love him with all of our might. So therefore, if we're focused on gaining things and people and stuff, and you're so focused on trying to get a mate and trying to get this job and trying to do this and that, and you're not focused on God, those things won't happen. They won't happen. Even if you have them for a hot minute, it won't last. It's not going to last. If you seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness, not the stuff that you do when you're at church in front of other people, may I add, but if you seek the kingdom of God and you seek righteousness, you seek to really truly live right, not the show that you put on in front of the church folks, not that whole different laugh that you get and whole different conversation and mannerism that you get when you walk into the sanctuary, but truly living righteously. Whether you're in church or outside of the church, whether you're at the sanctuary or on the job, not that different person that you become when you're in front of some different folks, because some of us get to change in hats and we're not even the same person anymore, but truly seeking to live righteously, truly seeking the kingdom of God, truly seeking the things of God, then the other stuff that we want and the other stuff that we need, he'll take care of it for us. He takes care of that stuff. He don't want us to be worried about that stuff. He don't want us worried about anything. And he knows what we have need of before we even ask. He knows before we know. But sometimes those people and things come along just to distract you from the word of God. There are some people who are distractors in our lives. We all have them. But we have to learn to release those distractors so that we can move on into what it is that God has called us to do. We have to learn to let some folks go and let some things go if it's keeping me from my calling, if it's keeping me from what God has told me to do, if it's keeping me from where I'm supposed to be and when I'm supposed to be there as it pertains to the things of God, because I am always distracted by other folks and other things. Oh, no, you got to go, boo-boo. I don't care how fine or how cute they are. You might have just met your new boo, but if they're trying to throw you off from what it is God has called you to do, I don't care how much you want a mate, how much you feel like you need a mate, I am telling you, they are not worth it. If they're telling you, oh no, I don't know why you're always going out into that church and giving that preacher your money, you better let them go. You better let them go quick. Because nothing and nobody should distract you from what it is that God has called you to do. I don't care how old you are. I don't care where you live. I don't care where you're from. And I don't care how long you've been saved. Because like I said, these things can happen to anybody. Anybody can be distracted. It happens to the best of us. But it's up to us to keep our focus on God. And that way, he'll highlight those things for us and show us, like, wait a minute now. I just met this person. And they're keeping me from going to church like I normally do every Sunday. Wait a minute now. I've been with this person for years, but now I've gotten saved. I can't let you distract me, husband. I can't let you distract me, wife, from the things of God. I need you to get on board. Now, I'm not telling people to walk away from your marriage, you know, because obviously you were already married, already with this person. But I am telling you, nothing and nobody should take your focus off of God. You pray and you pray them on in. Sisters, if you have a husband who's not saved and you are saved, don't be bickering and nagging. That ain't going to get him in. The Bible says that you still need to walk the walk, talk the talk. You live the life. Let him see the Jesus in you and he'll come on in. Same thing, husbands. You love her like Christ loved the church and she'll come on in. Because maybe both of you were unsaved in the beginning and now one person is going to get saved now. And believe me, a spouse can distract you from what it is you're supposed to do. But there's a process even for that. So I don't want none of y'all calling me saying, I said walk away from your marriage, because that's not what I said. You make sure that you are loving them according to the word of God. Wives, you make sure that you are submitting, you know, to these husbands who are submitted to God. I'm not saying walk away from them, but I am saying your pursuit should be about Jesus. And then Jesus will take care of the spouse. I know what I'm talking about. Glory to God. Make sure again that if there is a problem with the people, you're not trying to fix other folks. It's not your job to fix them. And that's the one thing that we like to do as Christians. Believe me, if there's a problem with my watch, I'm going back to Rolex. I'm going back to Timex, whoever it is. If it's Walmart brand, I am going back to them, because my problem is not with the created. I need to go back to the person who created it, the creator of the watch. So if there is a problem with a person, then you make sure you go to God, you pray for them, but you don't try to fix them, because you can't fix them. And see, that's what Martha was trying to do. Martha was trying to point out Mary's flaws, because that's what we do. You know, we think that things ought to be a certain way and we're not focused on God like we should be. So we begin to look at somebody else and start pointing out their flaws. And here she is with the nerve and the audacity to say to Jesus, Lord, look at Mary over there. She's supposed to be helping me in the kitchen. Now, see, Martha was worried about the bread on the stove, but forgot about the bread of life sitting right there in front of her. Martha was worried about handing Jesus a glass of water and the disciples that likely came along with him. But not realizing here it is that the living water is right here in front of you, woman. You don't have to thirst anymore if you get this water. But we focus on the wrong things. Our minds are on the wrong things. We trying to fix somebody else. She's trying to point out Mary's flaws. And that's what we do a lot of times to deflect. You know, we have stuff going on with us and we don't want anybody to pay attention to our issues. So we start paying attention to what's wrong with everybody else. No, the devil is a lie. We as saints, we as church folks, need to stop finding what's wrong with everybody else and being so busy being busy like Martha was. She's busy serving. Serving is fine, but not if your focus is in the wrong place. It's always supposed to be about Jesus. I don't care what your job is in the church. It's always about Jesus, no matter what's going on. It is always about Jesus. And here it is that Jesus is in the house. When Jesus is in the house and you know Jesus is in the house, you see him, you can feel him, you can touch him. Your focus has to be about Jesus. Pay attention when Jesus is in the house. My God. That alone will preach, and I know some other preachers are listening. That alone will preach. Jesus is in the house. What you worried about? Jesus is in the house. Get your mind off the bread on the stove. Jesus is in the house. Get your mind off focusing on what somebody else is doing or ought to be doing according to what you say. Jesus is in the house. Get yourself together. Get yourself together. You focused on the wrong things. And here it is. The funny thing is that as Martha continued to focus so much on what it is that she thought Mary was supposed to be doing, don't you know she wasn't even doing what it was that she said she was doing in the first place? You're supposed to be focused on the cooking and cleaning or whatever it is that she said she was doing. She was focusing on serving. But now you're not even doing that because you're standing stagnant watching somebody else. Jesus, have you ever found yourself? You're supposed to be doing one thing. Now you've gotten distracted. Your mind is not in the right place. Your focus is not on Jesus. And here it is, you ain't even doing what you set out to do. Now you're stagnant doing absolutely nothing because you're worried about somebody else's business. You're worried about how somebody else praises or worships or how you think they ought to praise or worship or what you think somebody else ought to be doing or what you think somebody else is called to do. You're so focused on what everybody else is doing and criticizing everybody else that now you're doing nothing. My God. She got so upset with her sister that here it is, she's not doing anything. And you have the nerve to be trying to now order God around. Oh, God, you fix them. God, you fix Mary. God, you fix my sister. God, you fix my brother. No, you get your mind right. You stop trying to tell God what to do and going to God like you telling on somebody else and get your focus on Jesus. Where is the love? Jesus is in your house. Where is the worship? Jesus is in your house. What is he saying to you? Can you even hear what he's saying? Or are you too busy rattling pots and pans? Can you hear what he's saying? Or are you too busy pointing out somebody else's flaws? Can you hear what God is saying? Or are you too busy running around, just busy, up doing stuff, jumping up doing stuff, when your focus should be right there on God? Now, think about it. Why is Martha feeling this way? Well, first and foremost, whatever it is that you feed, especially into your emotions, will grow. Just like whatever you eat is pretty much what you become. You eat a whole bunch of junk food, your body is not in good shape. That's why they say you are what you eat. Well, it's the same thing spiritually. You are what you eat. You spend so much time being negative and focusing on other people. That's what begins to come out of you. And so that's what happened with Martha. When she opened her mouth, the negativity came out. Because she had sat there festering, being mad at Mary. She going back and forth, walking around, working in the house and doing different things. And here it is. Now it's what's coming out. It's what's coming out. It's what's vocalized. And don't you know that that's what's wrong with some of us? Some of us can't even have a conversation with anybody. I don't care where we are, whether it's work, whether you're out somewhere in a social setting. Everything that you say has become negative because that's what you fed yourself. All this negativity, all of these pains from your past problems, permissions, things that you've permitted to happen in your life have now made you bitter. Think about it. These are parasites. Don't allow these parasites in your life because really they detract from you. They take away from you. They take away from the woman that you intended to be when you originally invited Jesus in. They take away from the man that you were called to be when you originally invited Jesus in. You had good intentions, but now these parasites of your pain, your past, your problems, your permissions, even poverty can cause us to become so negative that that's all that comes out. Don't allow parasites, whatever they may be for you, to take so much of a precedence in your life that you cannot focus. Don't allow whatever is going on around you, distractions of people and things, circumstances. Don't become a product of your environment. You don't have to fall into that. Think about it. When a woman meets a man, we spend a lot of time asking them questions and trying to get to know them because we want to please them. You're asking, well, what do you like to eat? And what do you like to do? And where do you like to go? Because you met a new boo and you're thinking, man, you know, I might be trying to hold on to this one. Same thing with you brothers who are listening. You meet a woman, you want to know, well, do you like flowers? Well, do you like to travel? Or where do you want to go? And what would you like to do? What types of things interest you? Because you're trying to get to know them. Think about it. Brothers, you can't just go and grab somebody because she got lips, hips, and fingertips. But you have to seek God in all things. Women, you can't just go grab a man because he has the potential to be able to pay a light bill. Think about it. Because what ends up happening is we get this person for the wrong reason and we become distracted. And how is that? It's because you're trying to get to know them. So you spend so much time sitting with them and talking to them. Well, see, this is what Mary was doing. Mary was sitting and talking to Jesus, learning more, hearing more, being fed from heaven on high. God is paying attention to her. She's paying attention to what he's saying. She's paying attention to where he's going and what he's doing. All of these things are important to her. It's the same thing that we do when we meet somebody new that we're interested in. We begin to learn about them. Guess what? You have to do the same thing as you meet Jesus and as you have become a saint, as you have become a Christian, as you have invited God into your house. We have to do the same thing. We have to spend some time with him, getting to know him. We have to spend some time with him, letting him talk to us. We have to spend some time with him, learning his likes and his dislikes and his expectations. We have to learn about his principles, because with everything about life, everything that we need to know is found in the Word of God. All of these principles are in the Word of God, but we have to be in pursuit of that. We can't be in pursuit of a boo more than we're in pursuit of God. We can't be in pursuit of people and things and chasing a career and chasing an education more than we are in pursuit of God. Because now, let's be honest, none of those people have a heaven or hell to put you in. Let's be honest, none of those folks can save you. None of those folks can heal you. None of those people can deliver you like the God that we serve. Let's not be so busy with stuff that we forget about the whole reason that we invited Jesus in the first place. Let's not be so busy with things and distractions of life that we have forgotten about why we invited Jesus in the first place. We have to be in pursuit of Jesus at all time, because clearly Martha obviously loved Jesus or cared about Jesus. He was invited to her home several times. Throughout scripture, we see throughout the New Testament that Jesus was at the home of Mary and Martha. Jesus was at the home of Lazarus. Lazarus was his friend. He loved these people, obviously, throughout the New Testament scriptures. But we can't lose focus just because it's somebody that we're close to, or just because it's somebody that we love. Don't get so comfortable with knowing that God is a healer and a deliverer that you just kind of sit back when Jesus is in the house and you act like he's just regular company. When the Spirit of the Lord comes to see about you, when you are in the church service and there is a move of God, don't be so comfortable with his presence that you don't act like you know he's there. You take advantage of the moment like Mary did. Mary was like, oh no, God is in the house. I have got to take advantage of this moment. See, we don't know when we're going to get another chance. We don't know when the Spirit of God or the presence of God is going to come in and indwell us like at this very moment. We cannot get a moment back. We can't get our time back. So whenever it is that the Spirit of God is there in your presence, especially for those of us who say that the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of us, that means that at all times we need to be cognizant and aware. God is in the house. God is in the building. God is walking with me and talking with me. God is right here with me, so I need to act like I know it. So every moment should be an opportunity for focusing on the things of God, seeking His kingdom, not just the stuff that He provides for us, not just because we know, okay, God is going to provide shelter for us. God is going to provide food. God is going to provide clothing, because that is what the scripture says. And yes, He does. He takes care of those things, but He wants us to chase after Him. We need to be Jesus chasers. We need to be in pursuit of Jesus at all times. He's going to provide the stuff. But focus on Jesus. Act like you know He's in the house. Act like you know He's present with you. Act like you know He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Act like you know that He is your healer and He's your deliverer. Don't just walk around so busy with things and services and where we need to be and when and feeling important with our titles that we forget about Jesus being in the house. See, we need to know two things. We need to first know the person of Jesus, and we need to know the principles of Jesus. Knowing the person of Jesus is having a personal relationship with Him. So if you're not saved and you're listening today, that is first and foremost. Jesus needs to stop by your house. Jesus needs to stop by your temple, which is your body. This body that we walk around in, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So in order for us to first have that indwelling of His Spirit and have Him walking and talking with us and living inside of us, we need to accept Him as our personal Savior. That means that you know without a shadow of doubt that Jesus is the Son of God. He came to this earth as a man, wrapped in humanity, to save you and me. He gave His life for you and me. He was crucified for you and me. But most importantly, on that third day that He got up with all power given unto Him. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that He is our risen Savior, which was prophesied about in the Old Testament? Do you know that Jesus is your Savior without a shadow of a doubt? That personal relationship with Him. Is He walking with you and talking with you? And then do you know the principles of Jesus? Do you know what the Word of God says? Do you know what God requires of you? Do you know the principles of love and the principles of giving, the principles of tithing? There are even principles of business found in this book. All that applies to us is important to God, and it is found in this book. See, Mary was focused on Jesus. Mary was focused on the things of God and what was important to God. Mary was focused on the Savior Himself, just sitting at His feet, bowed down before Him, focusing her attention and her time on God. Some of us get so busy being busy like Martha that we don't even have time for God, let us tell it. We don't have time to go to church. We got to work and we got to do this and we got to do that. And I'm preparing for work next week and I got to get my clothes and my things out. And I got to make sure that, you know, my hair and my nails are all together and all of this stuff that we get caught up in. Oh, I need to be cooking and cleaning. I need to take care of my house. We get so caught up in the stuff and we just give God this minimal time. But Mary took advantage of the moment. Mary captured that moment with Jesus. Mary was focused on her relationship with God and building her relationship with God, just like we do when we meet a boo, just like we do when we meet that man or that woman that we think might be the one. She was focused on building that relationship, and that's where we have to be, saints of God, always working on our relationship. See, a lot of us know that we have to work on our marital relationships and in relationships with people and our working relationships and things career-wise. And we know how to network and we know how to communicate and all of these things. But do we know how to focus on our relationship with God? Do we know how not to allow other things and people to distract us from our relationship with God? Are we focused on seeking the kingdom of God and not just treating God like Santa Claus, talking to him all the time about what we want. But do we just talk to him and just begin to thank and praise him for all things? God, I thank you for my ups and I thank you for my downs. I thank you, God, when I go out, and I thank you, God, when I come in, because I know, God, that everything I have, everything I am, and everything that I will ever be is because of you. Are we focused on those things? Are we determined to stay focused on those things? Because through life, trials and tribulations will come. People will come and go. But I want to tell you, like the songwriter says, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody treat you like Jesus. Can't nobody touch you, heal you, deliver you, defend you like Jesus. Because see, what happened is when Martha started talking about Mary, Mary didn't have to say a word. Don't you know that Jesus spoke for her? Jesus spoke up for her and said, Martha, you worried about the wrong things. Mary is doing that good thing. Mary has captured that good part. Mary is captured taking advantage of this moment to build a relationship with me. That is what's most important. See, we do a whole lot of things in our day-to-day business. But are we focused on building that relationship with God? Are we focused on getting rid of distractions and making sure that we are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Don't we need God to speak for us in our lives? We need Jesus to speak up for us. Some of us in the courtroom, some of us in the hospital room, some of us need God to speak for us on our job. Some of us need God to speak for us in our homes. Some of us need God to just speak for us, period. Because you don't have to defend yourself about anything. And Mary didn't have to defend herself at all. Jesus spoke for her. Don't we want God to speak for us? See, profession is important. The words that we speak, because we serve a speaking God, is important. And a lot of times we think, oh, well, I'm going to speak up for myself. No, that's not what that means. That's not what that means. There are times where you don't have to say a word. You close your mouth and let the Lord fight your battles. See, this battle doesn't belong to you anyway. This battle doesn't belong to you anyway. But we need to make sure that our confessions, the things that we say and the things that we do, all refer back to kingdom business. We need to be focused on kingdom business. And if somebody has something to say about how you're handling kingdom business, God will speak up for you. You don't have to defend a thing. You don't have to justify a thing. When you are doing the things that you're supposed to do, let Jesus speak up for you. Let Jesus speak up for you. You walk around and your confession is all about Jesus. There is really nothing anybody should be able to say anyway. But you know there are always, as the kids say, some haters. Like Martha. There's going to always be some haters. Don't think everybody's going to like you. Don't think everybody's going to be on your team. There will always be some haters. But when you do what you're supposed to do, your confession and your actions are aligned with the word of God. The things that you're doing and the things that you're saying are truly aligned with the word of God. Jesus will speak up for you. We need to learn how to access our relationships with God. And we do that with praise and worship. We come before his presence with singing, enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's how we get close to God. God wants us to lift him up and magnify him and pay attention to him like Mary was doing. Is your confession all about lifting up, praising, and magnifying God? Or the things that you say negative like Martha? Is your confession about what you already know that God is going to do on your behalf and how he's going to move on your behalf? Or are we like Martha, pointing fingers at somebody else, pointing out flaws of somebody else, pointing out how we think the service should go? Are we like Mary and taking advantage of a moment to lift up and magnify God? That's what we need to make sure we do. We need to be about kingdom business. Our words that we speak, our actions, and everything should be aligned with kingdom business. I'll say that again. Everything that we do should be focused on God. We should be Christ-centered, Christ-focused. We should be about Jesus's business. It's not about our business. It's not about our ministry. This is God's ministry. This is God's business. This is God's doing. So even if somebody tries to say something against it, even if somebody tries to be negative, when we're truly pursuing Jesus and we have that relationship with him and we're sitting at his feet and he's talking to us and walking with us, he'll speak for us. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it at all. I'm just so glad for being able to have that relationship with God. I'm so glad that God sees past our faults and our flaws and our needs. Because as I stated earlier, don't get thrown off by this message. Don't feel like your toes are being stepped on or this message is directly pointed at anybody. We all can get distracted. We all can have people or things or just issues in life that come along and typically will try to distract us from what it is that we're doing in the kingdom of God. But I'm so glad that we have a forgiving God and we can just come back before him, bow down before him and be able to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I did lose my focus. I was so busy with the things that are required of my title that I forgot about the principles that are required in this kingdom. I forgot about the fact that I need to spend more time with you than I do on the phone talking about what Sister Mary is doing, what Sister Susie is doing, what the preachers and the deacons are doing at the church. Lord, help us to get back on track and be focused on the right things. When you learn how to build on that relationship with God, you'll catch it right away when those distractions come at you. You'll see yourself, you'll hear yourself, and you'll know like, oh God, wait a minute, God, forgive me. I don't want to be focused on those things. Lord, I need to be focused on you. When you're truly focused on Jesus, he takes care of everything else for you anyway. He takes care of everything that concerns you. Your focus will shift from folks and things and what's going on all around you. Your focus will shift from, I got to get my house right, to, oh Lord, I got to get to church. I'll take care of the house when I get back. Your focus will shift from always talking about what you're cooking and what you're eating and sitting at church thinking about food, to actually hearing what it is that the Lord has to say. And no matter who it is that's delivering the message, many of us get distracted by who's delivering the message. There are still people in this day and time that are distracted by the fact that God is using women to bring a word. Don't be distracted. That is a trick of the devil. Don't be distracted by who's delivering the message. As long as it's the word, as long as God is speaking, the anointing is what makes the difference. Don't think because of somebody's gender that one is more anointed than the other. Don't think that because of somebody's age that someone is more anointed than the other. God can use anybody. And that's one of the biggest distractions for many of us, even in the church. We're so worried about who it is that's delivering the message. Is it the word of God? Stay focused on the word of God. Don't let your focus shift to the things. But make sure that you are doing as the word says in Matthew 6:33. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the things will be added unto you. Do not focus on the things. I'm just so glad, again, that God gives us the opportunity to get it right. And this may be a word for some that is a word of correction, and that's all right. We want to do what thus saith the Lord. This is another opportunity to just get it right. This is another opportunity to just capture the moment and give God some praise and some worship, because God is truly in the house. This is a moment for you to just love on God. Take a moment right now to just tell God how wonderful he is. Pursue Jesus, not the stuff. Not the job, not the cars, not the houses, but you pursue Jesus. You chase after him. Stop for a moment and just lift up holy hands before God. Stop for a moment and just cry out to God and let him know how much you love him. Because we all fall short. We all make mistakes. But take this moment to get your focus together and sit down and talk to God for a while and make sure that you are pursuing Jesus. In pursuit of Jesus. That's what it's all about. Listen, our time has come to an end. I thank you all so much for joining us on today. I want to make sure that if you'd like to donate to Campbell Ministries Incorporated, you can go to my website just by going to www.campbellministries.org or campbellministries.com. It's going to direct you to the site where you will see Eve's Corner, other information on archived shows, but there's also a button there that says donate. Click on the donate button. Ministry costs, and I do not make it a habit to beg for money, and I never will, because I will tell you God is truly my provider. God is my source. But I will tell you that ministry costs. So if you would like to donate to Eve's Corner, you may do so by going to the button and clicking on that link. If you don't want to donate via the internet, then you can definitely send it in by mail. You can write us at P.O. Box 16214. Again, that's P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi 39236. If you are in the Jackson, Mississippi area and you don't have a church home, please stop by the Word Full Gospel Church. We are located at 3023 Percy V. Simpson Drive. Again, in Jackson, Mississippi, that's 3023 Percy V. Simpson Drive. Our pastor is Dr. J.B. Williams. Our assistant pastor is Elder Fred Stewart. And in fact, on this week, we have some things coming up. This week, Wednesday through Friday, is our women's conference, and our very own Dr. Gladys Dotson, who has been on the show several times, will be ministering on Wednesday night. That's Wednesday night, 7 o'clock at the Word Full Gospel Church. Our women's conference starts, and Dr. Gladys Dotson will be the speaker for Wednesday night. Now, we have some other great women of God who will be there on Thursday and Friday. I do know that Pastor Erica Holloway will be there. And another woman of God. Amen. I'm sorry I can't call her name right now. But great women of God will be here on this week. So if you want to stop by the Wordful Gospel Church, the services start at 7 o'clock. Amen. And I do hope to see you there. And also, just to let you know, the singles ministry, praise God, will be October 22nd. Again, that's October 22nd at the Wordful Gospel Church, 3023. Percy B. Simpson Drive. It's going to start at about 6 o'clock. We're going to have a word, and we're going to have a little bit of socializing just a little bit at the end. Everything will be done decently and in order. We thank God for how God is moving and all the things that God is doing. I do pray for everyone that is listening on today and every extension, every family that is represented here on today. I pray the blessings of God over you right now in the name of Jesus. Again, thank you so much for joining Eve's Corner. Be blessed. Until the next time, keep pressing. God bless you.